Do y'all like change? No? Well, you realize that we're entering a change, in a season of change, right? As a congregation. You realize this? Okay. Circumstances are changing, and we need the Father's perspective. Amen? I want us... Lord, help me. I want to read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 through 26. Isaiah 40, 18 through 26. With whom then will you compare God? To what image would you liken him? As for an idol? A metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and he fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know, and have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and he spreads them out like a tent to live in. His creation. He brings princes to naught, and he reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, and no sooner do they take root in the ground, that he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? God says. Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. This is our God. Amen. We have another perspective given to us in Romans chapter 11, verse 3. 33 through 36. We sang about it this morning. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counsel? Who has ever given to God? It's laughable, isn't it? That God should repay them. For from him and through him and for him are all things, and to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We make a serious mistake when we build our life, our work, our ministry around our own expectations. Human nature as it is, we all do it. It's almost inevitable every time. Lord has you moving something somewhere or else or to a new job. You have expectations, right? You can't help it. It's part of the process. It's all we can see. But this is why we live by faith, not sight. We all want to feel that we're successful. We all want to be seen as successful by others. But we have to be careful to separate God's word spoken to us from our need to validate what we're doing. The outcome is not our source of validation. What is? The Father's approval. Amen? So what is my response when things don't go the way I expected or anticipated? Don't you think the Apostle Paul had to deal with the difference between his expectations and what God was actually doing? If you look at, he wrote in Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 20 through 28. He said, I've been in prison. I've been flogged several times. I've been exposed to death. I've received 39 lashes 5 times. I've been beaten with rods. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've spent a night and a day in the sea, but constantly I've been on the move, and I've been in danger. By who? By rivers, bandits, Jews, Gentiles, in the city, in the country, at sea, from false brothers. I've labored, I've toiled, I've gone without sleep, I've known hunger, and I've known thirst, I've been cold, and I've been naked. How many of us can identify with that? And then, I bear daily the pressure of the concern for all the churches. Don't you know he had expectations? I think that's why, you know, Paul said that it's all good. It's all good what God is doing. So how can it be good to be beaten and stoned? And, you know, how can this be good? Well, it's all good because God is writing truth on our hearts. Truth that moves from here to here, I call heart truths. And God's been changing my heart. Is God changing any of your hearts? Isn't it good? Hurts like the Dickens, but it's good. Has he been writing truth on your heart, Hal? Here are a few truths that God's written on my heart. I don't have time to go into this. But God is faithful. He will meet my needs. Never ask money for permission to obey God, because it'll always say no. I can trust God to defend me and my family against the enemy's attacks. God is my deliverer. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He will be with me even to the end of the world. These are just some of the things that God's written here through the things he's brought us as a family through, and me personally. They're all good. The problem is that my mind is at war with my heart. In this journey, God is bringing me to a place where my mind knows it. Why? Because my heart believes it. If my mind is dictating, it's going to be a problem. But if my heart is dictating, then my mind will follow my heart. Because out of the heart flow what? All the issues of life. So, a few things that I've learned over the years is disappointment is self-inflicted. It's a self-affected condition. It's an inside job. No one is doing it to me. I'm doing it to myself. It's an emotional feeling. Okay? Depression. Depression is based on what I've lost in the past. Fear is based on what I will lose in the future. So we go through these emotions. Disappointment, depression, fear, frustration, anxiety. We should not be unaware that storms come. They have come, they're all around us, and they'll keep coming. I want to paint a picture here that I hope will make this point. So let's just assume us, this body, that God speaks to us, and with great faith we move forward, okay? We're looking for God to move in mighty ways. So we put our little boat in the water, and we move, start paddling to a distant shore. This is the shore we feel that we understand God has said we're going over there. But then the storm hits, and this whole journey of faith thing's not turning out like we thought it was going to. It's not like what we expected. And since everyone back on the shore knows that we got in this boat to go over there, what's happening? Our reputation's on the line, right? So we begin to doubt what we heard from God, our calling as a body. We may lose hope in the word that we responded to initially, the word that prompted us to get into this mess in the first place. You know, we don't want to lose faith. Lose faith with the folks back on the shore. So we decide to do what? We put our minds to work to the task of figuring out what to do. We need to bring this whole thing back to fulfilling what? Our expectations. This is always a bad idea. It can't end well. The problem is that we are so secure in our delusions. Here's where delusions happen. We're so secure in our delusions because we know them so well. We like it here, okay? We've decorated it like we want it. We've made it our own. This has become our own personal expression, our personal statement. It may be a low life, but it's our life. This is how we think. So then we try to validate our ministry, our work, our calling with all kinds of mental strategies. This is the point where we start digging ourselves in a hole. This is the point where Abraham created Ishmael. How many Ishmaels have you created in your life? I've got a whole string of them following me. When we quit listening to Jesus' voice in our heart and start listening to the doubts in our minds, we start failing. But here's the truth. We can't make our expectations his reality. Can't do it. We must learn to know him. We've got to balance our truth with his reality. So what is truth? It's what God's written here. Everything else are our illusions, our expectations. So nevertheless, we come up with some real great strategies that we hope will fulfill our expectations. So we send out prayer requests, or we pray and plead with God to bless our little thing, confident that God's up there saying, good idea, guys. Your little mental strategies are really good. You think that's what he's saying? He's not. He's doing this. Oh, again, would you just listen? Would you just obey? So we've lost sight of the heart truths that brought us to this point. Our response to this in the storm reveals what our heart really believes. The way I respond in a difficult situation, troubling, confusing, dangerous, shows what my heart really believes. External circumstances versus internal heart truths. The heart produces, listen, the heart produces the emotion that forms my expectations, right? And therefore, the mental illusions, my imagination, that I created regarding those expectations. I have expectations, and I create my little imagination. This is why my heart needs to be changed. It's why my heart needs to be His. Our expectations must be grounded in truth, not our emotions. We can't be grounded in our imagination and our mental conception of outcomes. We become frustrated that we don't see any options for progress, or we don't think there's any way through. Have you ever experienced this? Doyce and Kay, have you ever experienced that with Bops? Huh? You have a great plan, things aren't working right. Well, our imagination often limits us to God's possibilities. So listen, you can't solve a spiritual problem with mental strategies. Why? The foundation of a spiritual problem isn't mental. Our best mental exercises cannot produce what God desires. Cannot produce God's eternal outcome. How can it? We can't even see what He's doing. Yet we build all of our expectations, imaginations on what we see, not what He's doing. How could we not be disappointed? I can't produce miraculous changes in the heart of men, but God can. I can't heal anyone, but God can. I can't even protect myself, but God can. So do I really want to give myself, my abilities, my strength, my talents to something I can imagine, that I can conceive of, that I can make happen in my own wisdom? The problem with that is there's no glory to the Father in that. Many fabulously strong, talented, gifted men and women have done amazing things, but it's only what's done in God that gives Him glory, right? So we simply can't know what God has in store for us, what He wants to do through us. But I do know this, it'll be great and it'll bring Him glory. That I do know. If we can imagine and produce God's purposes, then how awesome is our God? If I can do what God said He's going to do, then how strong is my God? This is why we walk by faith and not sight. God speaks a word to us that gets us moving. He's not expecting us to produce His desired outcome. That's His job. What's He expecting of us? To obey. Listen and obey, right? Now, do you think that my little picture is where we are today? Does this picture accurately describe who we are as members of the body of Christ? I don't really think so. But it could be, because things are changing. The season's changing, and we must find a place of rest in the arms of Jesus as we navigate through the storms into a new season. And where's Jesus? In the middle of the storm, in the bottom of the boat, sleeping. He's not concerned. I'm concerned. Why? Because I'm listening to the doubts here instead of the truths that God's written here. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will bless you if you'll obey. I don't pray anymore, God bless me. He's already promised to bless me. I pray, God, help me to obey. And the blessings that he can produce, and God's blessings are far beyond my imagination. And that's what I would pray from my imagination. Do I only want God to do for me what I can imagine? No. That's why I've quit praying that way. I say, Father, teach me to obey you. And leave the rest with him. Because he said he would do it. It's in the Father's presence that he meets all of our needs. He comforts, he satisfies, he speaks, he leads, he enlightens our thinking. He reveals himself as the one who sits above it all, as God the Creator. He changes our hearts. So brothers and sisters, let's learn to rest in him. Psalm 62:5 says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him." Psalm 62:6, "He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress, and I will not be shaken." Let's not spend ourselves on repairing the past. You hear me? But rather, let's prepare for the future by meditating on the Word of God, hearing and obeying. As I said earlier, we're entering into a new season as a church body. We need to walk into our future with a heart fully assured in faith, not fear. Amen. Who can imagine? Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the amazing things that the Father has for us. We can't be afraid to fail. It will immobilize us. No storm is bigger and stronger than our God. Nothing. We need to fear the consequences of turning back, saying no to God. We don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Hebrews 10:39. What prevents me from being destroyed? Faith. When I lose faith, I start doubting, and then I draw back and I'm destroyed. This is what the enemy wants for me, for you, for us. He hates you. He really violently hates us all. You know how strong that emotion is? Hate. Well, he can only win if I back down, if I draw back. Outcome is not our source of validation. God's approval is. It's the Father's approval that we desire, not man's approval. So this is going to be a good year, brothers and sisters. This is going to be a very good year. An exciting year as we seek and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's going to be a very good year as we grow closer to one another as a body, as brothers and sisters. It's going to be a very good year as we learn to love one another deeply from the heart. It's going to be a very good year as we learn to walk in the unity of the Spirit. It'll be a very good year because the Father will be glorified in us individually and as a body. So, let's stay out of our future, okay? We just aren't smart enough. Let's not let the past dictate our future. Let's allow the Father, through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, to dictate our future. He's really good at it. He really is. Amen? Is God really good at what he does? Aren't you grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives to speak and to lead? So, I for one, me and my family, we don't want the best that we can imagine. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough to come up with anything that can come close to comparing to what the Father in his deep love has prepared for me, for us. Amen. I hope that encourages you. It encourages me. It's a good year. It's a good time. It's really good.